was a message how to thrive and not just survive. The 5 points of that were rise thankfully, pray expectantly, speak kindly, forgive quickly, and work worshipfully. We addressed the first and last one the following week, and prayer the next week. And then last week, we talked about speaking kindly, the words that we say, how we treat one another by the words that we say. And today, we're going to take a more in-depth look at forgiveness. Forgiveness. Something a lot of people have a hard time with is forgiveness. But I think you want me to give you the Word of God without avoiding the difficult topics, don't you? Do you want to know the truth? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Even though forgiveness may be difficult, and it may be impossible in and of ourselves, but through God, through His Word abiding in us and His Spirit living through us, He gives us grace to be able to forgive. And so we're going to look at that. The title of the message is Have Mercy. Have Mercy. And the text is Mark chapter 11. We're just going to look at two verses. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. This is Jesus Himself speaking. If ever there is an example that you should follow in your life, it's Jesus. Is it not? We can look at each other. We can say, man, I'd like to be like Gary, or I'd like to be like Dennis, or I'd like to be this, like this one, or that one. But ultimately, our role model is Jesus. And if we're going to pay attention to anything in the Bible, definitely pay attention to Jesus' words. And Jesus says this in Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Well, that's pretty tough words, isn't it? But Jesus, straight from Jesus' mouth, it's not the first time that He said, and the only time that He said something like this. Forgive if you want to be forgiven, is the requirement. A Sunday school teacher one time had just concluded her lesson on forgiveness. And she asked the question to the class at the end of the class, just to make sure that they understood what she was saying. She said, "What is the one thing that you must do before you can obtain forgiveness of sin? What do you have to do in order to obtain forgiveness of sin?" There was a pause for a few seconds, and then a small boy at the back of the class said, "Sin." Well, yeah. Of course, to be forgiven, you have to do something that needs to be forgiven. But I think they might have missed the point. To be forgiven, yeah, you got to do something that requires forgiveness. But that's the easy part. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's already done. It's over with. The whole human race has met that requirement. That's easy. Well, to obtain forgiveness that brings salvation, Jesus taught you must repent. You must repent. As soon as Jesus was baptized and He began His public ministry, going from place to place, town to town, village to village, He began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent. What does repent mean? What to repent means to change your mind and change your direction. First, we change our mind about God. We realize that He's not out to get us. We realize He is not out to destroy. That Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. We hear about that and it's like, wow, Jesus really does love me. We change our mind about God and about His direction, about His will for our life. But we also change our direction, which means we're going this way, away from God, ignoring God, and rejecting God and His will for our life, and we begin to have that change of mind, like, God loves me, He has a plan for my life, and we say, okay, instead of going from God, I'm going to go to God. We change our mind, we change our direction. And guess what? When we do that, we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. He gives us a new heart. He changes our heart, changes our heart's desire. And when you repent, when you say, I'm sorry, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. And He does that. Then He gives you a brand new start. He gives us a brand new start. Isn't that wonderful? That all our past sins, let's just imagine that they're all written on this board. And you know what they are. I don't know what they are, but God knows what they are. You know what they are. And all of a sudden, when we repent and we ask God for forgiveness, it's a clean slate. It's as if they had never happened. To obtain forgiveness that brings salvation, you must repent. Forgiveness of sin is the reason that Jesus came into the world. The first Sunday of every month, we participate in communion. And in that communion, it's a remembrance of what Jesus did the night before He died. That He took bread and blessed it and broke it and said, this is my body which is given for you. But He also took a cup and gave that to His disciples and said, this is the blood or my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So on that cross, He shed His blood for the very purpose of forgiveness of sins. That's the reason that He did it. So forgiveness. In this passage that we looked at here in Mark chapter 11, Jesus is teaching that forgiveness must flow through us to others. Forgiveness flows through us and to others. We're going to look at three aspects of this forgiveness. First thing about this forgiveness that we must see and understand is forgiveness is a two-way street. It's a two-way street. There is forgiveness received, and then there is forgiveness that is given. We first receive forgiveness of our sins from God, and then we are motivated and inspired to forgive those who sin against us. Jesus told His disciples one time, He said, freely you have received, therefore freely give. We didn't do anything to earn our salvation. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You didn't earn it, you can't buy it, you can't be pretty enough, smart enough, tall enough, whatever. It is the free gift of God. Freely we have received. Therefore, we should freely give. Let me give you some other examples of where Jesus taught this reciprocal type of attitude that we must have in our lives. Jesus taught in Matthew 5, He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. James wrote that mercy is judgment is without mercy to those who have shown no mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When we are forgiving toward others, we are forgiven. Jesus taught in Matthew 7, He says, judge not that you be not judged. For with the same measure that you judge others, you too will be judged. When you're harsh with somebody, they'll be harsh back with you. He said also in Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. See, it's a reciprocal thing. It's a two-way street. We give and it will be given to us. We forgive and we will be forgiven. We do not judge or condemn or belittle people, then we receive something similar. Give and it will be given to you. He says, with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. A two-way street. What about the golden rule? Most of us were taught that probably when we were children. Hopefully we lived by it. The person that said that, that taught that, was Jesus Himself. In Luke chapter 6, He says, do to others as you would have them do to you. Again, that reciprocal, that two-way street. So if we think about this with respect to forgiveness, you might say, forgiveness is like, do for others what you would want God to do for you. If you want God to forgive you, then forgive others. This is very similar to what we covered a few weeks ago in a sermon on prayer. In that passage in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said this, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So he said it multiple times. Forgiveness is a two-way street. We receive forgiveness and we give forgiveness. Freely we have received, therefore we should freely give. So let's talk about the second point here. Forgiveness received. Forgiveness received, as I said, should make us quick to forgive others. We cannot hold on to the sins of others and expect God to cast ours away. It doesn't work that way. Remember the lesson that I told you in Matthew chapter 18 about the unmerciful servant? Let me refresh your memory. There was a man, a servant, who had a master that called everybody in to settle accounts with them. And this one guy owed, to put it in our terms, let's say he owed $1 million. And he had no money to repay. Probably all of us would be in that situation, wouldn't we? If we owed a debt of $1 million and we're called to account, say, "You got to pay up, buddy, right now." We might do like this servant, say, "Well, please, I can't give it to you right now, but have patience with me. Wait on me. I will do my best. I will pay you back everything," and plead with that person. Well, this servant did that. And his master had compassion on him and saw that he was sincere, or so he thought, and said, "Okay, just forget it. Your debt is canceled." Reminds me of the time after we built this building, when we were making plans to build this building here. We had plans to have vinyl siding on the outside. And the banker that we finally got to loan us enough money to build this building, he looked at the plans, and he was a believer. He was a Christian. Thank the Lord. He said, "Is there any way you can brick this building instead of having vinyl siding on?" He said, "I just think it would speak more to the permanence. You know, you're not a fly-by-night group. You're going to be here today and gone tomorrow. Can you brick this building?" I said, "I don't know. We're stretched as far as we can." Well, our state board of evangelism at the time, it was like $12,500 extra to brick it instead of having the vinyl siding. And I said, "Okay, we will give you the money. Consider half of it, $6,000-something, to be a gift, and the other half to be a loan. This one you don't have to repay, but the other $6,000 you can repay over time." So we started repaying that. Month after month, we would send a payment in. One day I got a call. It wasn't very long, probably within a year. Got a call from the chairman of that board and said, "Hey, we had a meeting, and we have decided to forgive your debt." Praise the Lord. We didn't have to pay back another $5,000-some or whatever it was. It was forgiven. So this servant is before his master, and he has compassion on him, says, "Forget about it. You don't owe me a thing." You would think that would make this guy really happy, wouldn't you? But you know what his attitude was? "Man, I sure pulled one on my master." He went out and found a fellow servant who owed him, let's say, $100, and said, "Hey, pay me what you owe me right now." And that servant said, "Hey, please have mercy on me. Give me some time. I'll repay everything." But what did he do? He had the guy thrown in jail because he couldn't pay. He did not have mercy on him. Well, when the master heard what the servant had done, he called him to account as well and said, "Since I forgave you all that debt, shouldn't you also have forgiven your fellow servant?" "Because you didn't," he ordered that he be in prison until he could pay every dollar that he owed. And he said, "So that's the way your Father in heaven will treat you if you do not forgive." So forgiveness received should make us quick to forgive others. Children of God are ready to forgive even their enemies. Even their enemies, we can forgive them. Y'all ever heard of the prophet Jonah? Jesus talked about Jonah. He called him a prophet. Jonah was a preacher. And God called him in the book of Jonah, the very first chapter. God, the word of the Lord, came to Jonah and said, I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach what I want you to preach to them. Well, do y'all remember the story? Did Jonah say, okay, I'll go? He did not. He went the opposite direction. He went away from what God had called him to do. Ended up on this ship going to Tarshish. And as they were going, a great storm arose, and they were fearful for their lives. And the men of the ship tried throwing everything overboard, and finally Jonah said, no, it's because of me. They didn't want to, but they ended up throwing Jonah overboard. And then they were saved. Well, what happened with Jonah? The Bible says God prepared a great fish that swallowed Jonah. And as he was in the belly of that great fish, he began to pray to God. God had mercy on him. And the fish vomited him out on dry land, the scripture says. And then he said, okay, I'll go. And he went to Nineveh and he preached. He said, unless you repent in 40 days, God is going to destroy this city. And the people repented with sackcloth and ashes. They were mournful. They were in great distress over their sin. Oh, please, God, do not destroy this place. And God relented. He said, okay, I'll spare the city. That should make a preacher happy when he preaches the word of God and people repent, shouldn't it? You know what it made Jonah do? Made him mad as a wet hen, the old saying goes. Mad. It angered him. And in Jonah chapter 4, it says, this displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. These people repenting and being forgiven by the Lord caused this preacher to be so mad that he just wanted to die. That don't make sense, does it? That don't make a lick of sense. Why was Jonah so mad at God when he forgave Nineveh of their sins? Because Nineveh had been the enemy of Israel. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria, the nation that was constantly harassing them and ultimately overthrew them and conquered them. They were their bitter enemies. And Jonah did not want them to be forgiven. He wanted punishment brought on them. He wanted them to suffer instead of being forgiven. I mean, after all, Israel, God's people, was being rejected and cast aside, and Nineveh was being forgiven. That should not be in Jonah's mind. No way. He's not going to have any part of that. That's why he fled. I'm not going to preach to those people because I want them to suffer for their sins. But whatever pleases God should please us, shouldn't it? How about ourselves? Put yourself in that position. Do we hold on to unforgiveness because we want those who sinned against us to suffer a little while? I don't want them to be forgiven. For what they've done to me, what they said about me, how they talked to me, I am not forgiving them. I want them to suffer for a while. We think that our offenders need to be punished so we don't turn them over to God. We hold on to unforgiveness because God would be too quick to forgive. We're more righteous than God. He shouldn't be so quick and easy to forgive somebody of their sins. Therefore, we hold on to it. We rob God of what is rightfully His. Vengeance belongs to God, not us. Romans 12 says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Listen, if they repent, God knows their hearts. God knows whether there's true repentance. God knows whether there is true sorrow. The Bible says that godly sorrow brings forth repentance. God knows their hearts. If He forgives them, then that's great. It's okay. And it's pleasing to God for us to forgive them. So forgiveness received should inspire us to be quick to forgive others. Third thing is forgiveness given. Forgiveness given results in motion, not just emotion. In fact, there may not even be any emotion when we forgive somebody. We may not feel it. It may not make us feel good, but how we treat them, the actions that we do, is going to show whether we have forgiven. It will be seen in our action, not just our words. John wrote this. He said, "Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." We all know the old saying, action speaks louder than words, don't we? How we treat somebody that we have forgiven shows whether it's true forgiveness. There's a story about Thomas Edison. Remember Thomas Edison? He was the inventor of the light bulb. Pretty famous guy, pretty great inventor. One day while he was working on this light bulb, which was brand new concept, he had made, I suppose, a few of them at this time. The story goes that it took a whole team of men 24 straight hours to just put one light bulb together. And one day when Edison was finished with one light bulb, he gave it to a young boy. He said, "Here, son, I need you to take this upstairs and put it with the others." And as this young boy was going up the stairs, he was being very careful, you know, on each step, you know, holding this light bulb, and by now you know what's going to happen, don't you? By the time he got to the top of the stairs, he lost his handle on that light bulb, and it fell and it broke. You think frustration, yelling, aggravation would ensue, right? Well, what happened was Edison and his team of men spent the next 24 hours putting together another light bulb. What did he do at the end of that 24 hours and he had this new light bulb? He gave it to that same boy. Said, "Here, I need you to take this upstairs and put it in the inventory with all the others." That's forgiveness. That's forgiveness. You let them try it again. Forgiveness means you give the person another chance. And another chance. And maybe another chance. Jesus said in Luke 17, "If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." Wow, Jesus, that's a lot to ask. But that's Him living through us and in us that enables us to do that. Now, don't take that number seven literally. Don't keep a count. 1 Corinthians 13 says love keeps no record of wrongdoings. I say, okay, there's number seven. You mess up again, don't expect any forgiveness. No. See, seven is a number of completeness. It refers to however many times it takes. Seven is a number of completeness. Think of it. Think of the number seven like this. There's 7 days in a week, right? There's seven colors in a rainbow. There's seven notes in a musical scale. It's just completeness. It's however much it takes. Whatever it takes to get the job done, that's how far forgiveness needs to go. Forgive as many times as it takes. Complete, unlimited forgiveness. What about somebody that's hurt us really bad? Does a really bad offense make us feel that that person does not deserve to be forgiven? Yeah, it makes us feel that way. Emotions are just emotions. They're not right or wrong. How we feel about something, we may feel good one day and feel bad another. That's why in your relationship with God, you can't trust your feelings. Trust the facts. Your feelings will follow the facts that Jesus came and He died for my sin. I've received Him as Lord and Savior. I'm serving Him. I may not feel close to Him today, but He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's here, no matter how you feel. So yeah, somebody that offends you or hurts you really bad, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Of course they don't deserve it. Forgiveness is never deserved. It's never deserved. See, a favor that's deserved is justice, not mercy. Justice is good, but mercy is much better. That passage I was talking about earlier where James said that judgment will be without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. He goes on immediately to say, mercy triumphs over judgment. Hallelujah. Praise God. Mercy triumphs over judgment. It's better. Thankful that God did not judge me and condemn me and sentence me to eternal hell. He forgave me. He gave me mercy. And so we extend mercy and forgiveness. Feelings of bitterness may take a while to go away on serious offenses. But think of it like this. It's like the ringing of a church bell. I remember when I was a kid, what few times I did go to church, we had a church in our community that had an old church bell. And that was so much fun to get a hold of that rope and to pull that rope and ding and ring that bell. Any of y'all ever rang a church bell? They keep ringing as long as you keep pulling that rope, don't they? But if you let go of the rope, the ringing gets softer and softer until it finally goes away. So our bitterness that we're holding on to, unforgiveness, stop pulling the rope. Stop pulling the rope. Stop pulling the cord. Bury the hatchet. Put the past in the past and move on. After all, God puts our past in the past, doesn't He? Isaiah 43, the Lord says, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Forgive and move on. So what can we say to all this? We all want to be forgiven, I think. We all need to be forgiven, for all have sinned. But Jesus promises this blessing only to those who give it to others. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Whenever you stand praying and you remember that you have something against somebody, forgive him that your sins may be forgiven. There's a Spanish story of a father and a son who had become estranged. The son ran away and the father set off to find him. He searched for months to no avail. Finally, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in the Madrid newspaper. His ad said this, Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you. Signed, your father. One Saturday, 800 men named Paco showed up in front of that newspaper office looking for forgiveness from their father. Well, our Father in heaven has advertised His love and forgiveness in a book we call the Bible. Have you accepted your Father's forgiveness? You can have it today if you repent. If you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I have sinned like the prodigal son. When he finally came to his senses and went back to his father, said, I have sinned against heaven in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Simply make me your servant. What did the father do? What was his response? Did he say, just go on down the road. I don't want nothing to do with you. You made your bed. You lie in it. You're not my son anymore. All this and that. No, he ran with open arms and said, welcome home, my son. Maybe you have drifted far from God. He's saying, come home. He will not reject you. He will throw open his arms and say, welcome home. All is forgiven. Key is, turn from your way of sin and rebellion against God and turn to Him. He will not reject you. He will receive you. Have you received your Father's forgiveness? You can have it today. Let's stand together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. God, we thank you that you enable us as your children to be like you, our Father. With your Spirit and your Word abiding in us, we are enabled to be forgiving people. And God, I just pray that you will help us to model that, to live that out in our daily lives, that freely we have received and therefore freely give. And God, for anybody here who does not know you as Lord and Savior, we pray that you would just tug on their heart right now. Let them know that they are here to hear this message about a Father who loves them so much and gave himself for them. Jesus died in our place and shed his blood so that we could be forgiven. And so, God, I pray that someone would come forward and say, I want to know this Jesus. I want to serve him as my Savior and my Lord. So speak to our hearts, we pray. Crown this service with victory. May we leave here rejoicing, saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.